I just thought I would also use this opportunity, as we are together here and as a former resident of Guyana, to welcome and to thank all those who came from the Caribbean. Spanish Caribbean from Puerto Rico, from Jamaica, from St. Kitts and Nevis, from St. Lucia, St. Vincent, Barbados, Trinidad. I dare say on behalf of the brethren here, we thank you for having come and shared this, which is what I call sometime a Caribbean Bible Workers Christian Conference. There is going to be the reading of a number of scripture, because as we shall go through some thoughts, the need is to be under the sound of the word. And as I grew up and we were visited in our what we call home assembly gathering in Switzerland, I didn't know anything about English language at the time, but a dear brother read the word before ministering, and after he read the word, he said, the most important part of the meeting is past, behind us, the reading of the word of God, the living word of God, operative word of God. The rest is still the desire to be subject to the Spirit of God's leading. But with this, this is the foundation. This is the truth. And you can go back to it, and you are safe. Nobody can challenge this. It is, thy word is truth. How great is our privilege to have it complete, not only Old Testament, but New Testament as well. And the key, opening the whole word of God to us from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, verse 24, that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, one in the Godhead, who came in manhood, the one who is the hope, the one who, by whom full grace is ministered to us as we wait for him. We are going to read in Genesis chapter 14. Just to be clear in my mind, I don't know if we start at 9:30, 9:45. This session goes until when?
10:30.
It's nice that in letter writing, from time to time, we say, we add a PS to it. You know what that means? But 10:30. Genesis 14. We are going to read from verse 15, just to have a little bit of the context. And Abraham, and you will bear with me, I use the literal translation. It is the text that is the closest to what we use in the French. And so I'm sure that if you have any question later on, then don't hesitate to come to one or the other of us as to any difference in the text with what you have. And Abraham divided himself against them by night, he and his servants, and smote them and pursued them as far as Ohab, which is to the left of Damascus, And he brought back all the property and brought again his brother Lot and his property and the women also and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after he had returned from smiting Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him into the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heavens and earth." And he blessed the Most High God who has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 1, Exodus 19, "In the third month after the departure of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. They departed from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai and encamped in the wilderness, and Israel encamped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and Jehovah, the Lord, called to him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I have done to the Egyptians, and how I have borne you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. And now, if ye will hearken to my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then shall ye be my own possession out of all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel." Exodus chapter 28. What we read in Genesis 14 already, we saw the first mention of priesthood. Then we had the second one in Exodus chapter 19. In Exodus chapter 28, verse 1, "And thou shalt take thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him." Aaron is a type of the As a great high priest is a type of the Lord Jesus, who is the great high priest above all. "And his sons with him," the sons of Aaron, with him, Aaron is a type of Christ and his own, the church, the assembly, "from among the children of Israel, that he may serve me as priest. Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for ornament." In verse 4, "And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a cloak, and a checkered vest, a turban, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may serve me as priest." Chapter 29. We are going to read some scriptures from this chapter, not to make it the basis or really our meditation, but we are going to refer to it, and I just felt the need to read some portion of this chapter. Verse 1, "And this is the thing which thou shalt do to them, to hallow them, that they may serve me as priests." And then he tells them what they were to do. "Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and wheaten flour shalt thou make them. Notice that every one of these items we read direct our attention in the light of the New Testament to the person of the Lord Jesus, His glories, His virtues, everything a pleasure to God. Verse 3, and thou shalt put them into one basket and present them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. And then there is a description of what was done that day when Aaron and his sons were consecrated, hallowed, for that service of priests, priesthood. Among them, these scriptures, I want to emphasize a few more verses. In verse 22, first in verse 19, and thou shalt take the second ram, and Aaron and his son shall lay their hands upon the head of the ram, and thou shalt slaughter the ram, and take of its blood, and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and on the tip of the right ear of his sons, and on the thumb of their right hand, and on the great toe of their right foot, and thou shalt sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. You have noticed the ears, the thumb of the right hand, and of the great toe. The listening, the acting, the walking under the effect of the blood. And then in the verse 21, there is not only the blood, but there is also the anointing of oil. Then in verse 22. Also of the ram shalt thou take the fat, and the fat tail, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the net of the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them. And the fat, in the word of God, there is a scripture, I couldn't trace it in Numbers, that says that this is the most excellent part. It is the best. The fat that is upon them in the right shoulder, for it is a ram of consecration. It is the occasion of the setting apart of Aaron and his family to be priests, the priesthood of Aaron, and then his son with him. Verse 23, and one loaf of bread, and one cake of oil bread, and one wafer out of the basket of unleavened bread that is before Jehovah. Verse 24, and thou shalt put all this in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons. Just picture this scene. All that was to be done, and we are not going to read it when it is being done in Leviticus chapter 9 and 10. But everything was to be put in the hands of Aaron and his sons. And in verse 25, we just read at the end of verse 24, shall wave them as a wave offering before Jehovah, and thou shalt receive them of their hands, and burn them upon the altar over the burnt offering, for a sweet odor before the Lord. It is an offering by fire to Jehovah. Now, in passing there, notice, all was put in the hands of Aaron and of his sons, so that an offering could be out of this offered to the Lord. So we are going to turn in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We will notice particularly the expression at the end of verse 14. When David, we shall just read a few verses, but I want you, all of us, to notice that expression, which is often repeated in the time of worship together to the Lord. In verse 14, the latter part of verse 14, for all is of thee, and of that which is from thy hand have we given thee. Now the context. In verse 10, and David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Jehovah, the Lord of our father Israel, forever and ever. Thine, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the splendor and the majesty. All that is in the heavens and on the earth is thine. Thine, Lord, is the kingdom, and thou art exalted as head above all, and riches and glory are of thee. And thou rulest over everything, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make all great and strong. And now, O God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer willingly after this manner? For all is of thee, and of that which is from thy hand have we given thee. Marvelous occasion, indeed, when in the days of David, the beginning of what was really meant by God, a kingdom, and with David a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, king in the marvelous context of grace, followed by the reign of Solomon, the marvelous context of the reign of glory and peace. In Malachi, Chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. The context is what the Lord now is saying through the prophet Malachi, and there were many things that were not in order. Not only a day of weakness and of ruin, but a time when they were challenging God. And God said that he had loved Jacob, and they would dare to say, In what have you loved us? In this context, yet, the Lord places before them what was his mind concerning them as his people. Verse 5, My covenant was with him, that is Levi, out of which came the family of the priest. My covenant was with him, was of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear. And he feared me and trembled before my name. That was at a time when the priesthood was established in the wilderness. The law of truth was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned away from iniquity. Verse 7 is particularly the verse I have in mind. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and at his mouth they seek the law. For he is the messenger of Jehovah of hosts. No doubt when it is in the singular like this, our attention is again directed to the person of the Lord Jesus as the one who fully glorified God. On the other hand, we can see what is the mind of the Lord concerning what the priests had to do, Aaron and his family, in faithfulness to the Lord. They were to, out of their lips, there was to be knowledge. From their mouths, they were seeking the law. They were to be the messengers of Jehovah, of the Lord of hosts, to the people. John chapter 4. A very well-known verse referred to the time when we worship the Lord and remember the Lord Jesus and his great work, the gift of himself. John 4, verse 23. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For also the Father seeks such as his worshippers. God is a spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We are going to read together and speak a little about spiritual sacrifices. Here we find that God is a spirit, and he must be worshipped in spirit and truth. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, Hebrews 13, verse 15. By him, he is referred to as Jesus in verse 12. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually to God. That is the fruit of the lips confessing his name. And in reading the word here, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise, the sacrifice of praise. In French, I just pass it on for the interest. In French, we don't use the word priest as it is known commonly in Christendom. And as he is called, he is the priest. And you go to the priest. We have a word that is of the same root as the word sacrifice. And so when we read of him in the word, it is always a reminder that he gave himself as a sacrifice, first of all, but also he is the one through whom we approach God. He is the one who presents us to God. And we, in the benefit of the work that he has done, we are such constituted. Who can offer sacrifices of praise to God continually, confessing his name. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, second line, Revelation 4, second line. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us, and has washed us from our sins in his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the might to the ages of ages. Amen. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 8. And the four, I will just check one thing. Yeah, in verse 4. And round the throne, which John saw in that vision, as he was told, come up hither. John there heard the word, could see in a vision. Round the throne, 24 thrones. And on the thrones, 24 elders sitting, clothed with white garments. And on their heads, golden crowns. And then in verse 8, and the four living creatures, each one of them having respectively six wings, round and within, they are full of eyes, and they cease not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. And when the living creatures shall give glory and honor and thanksgiving to him that sits upon the throne, who lives to the ages of ages, the 24 elders shall fall before him that sits upon the throne and do homage to him that lives to the ages of ages, and shall cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy will they were, and they have been created. Chapter 5, in verse 8, And when it took the book, that is the Lamb, took the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, having each a harp and golden bowls full of incenses, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open its seals, because thou hast been slain and hast redeemed to God by thy blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made them to our God kings and priests, and they shall reign over the earth. And finally, before we read in 1 Peter 2, finally in Revelation 20, verse 4, chapter 20, verse 4, And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and the souls of those beheaded on account of the testimony of Jesus, and on account of the word of God. Particularly I saw a throne, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. Finally, in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 2. As newborn babes, desire earnestly the pure mental milk of the word, that by it ye may grow up to salvation, if indeed ye have tasted that the Lord is good, to whom coming a living stone, cast away indeed as worthless by man, but with God chosen, precious, yourself also as living stone, being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And verse 9, But ye are a chosen race, a kingly priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for a possession, that ye might set forth the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness to his wonderful light. Three parts. The first one, out of all the scripture that we read, is concerning the one who is always the leader, always first. If we are said to be firstborns, he is the firstborn among many brethren. And we could multiply the examples. And so when we speak of priesthood, our mind is first of all directed to him, the Lord Jesus, who is the great high priest. He is the only one who has that complete title, the great high priest. We have traced together a little by way of the scripture that we read, that in the Old Testament, as God had called the people for himself, we read in Exodus chapter 19, how he had delivered them from Egypt, how he had brought them to himself, the place where he was going to make himself known more and more. And there he offered to take care of them. He who had been faithful to that point was going to take care of them as his people, provided they would listening to his word. And as we know, they answered in response to what the Lord said, all that the Lord has said, we are going to do it. And a summary of the Old Testament is whatever the position into which God places us, placed his people, either as the leaders or the people as such, is a sad tale of failure, inability to do on our own what God requires. But there is one who is the faithful and the true, of whom we read in Revelation chapter 1. In him everything is secured, the blessed Son of God. But God took the occasion of the failure of the people to bring out what was in his mind concerning his earthly people. This is a thought that struck me, and as I heard Brother ministering the word from time to time, he would come back to this. God glorified himself out of the condition of misery in which we had fallen. God took occasion of this to glorify himself. And so we had before us, as to the people of Israel on the earth, a people that was falling from enjoying the grace of God, God gave them the ordinances concerning the priesthood. Those who among the people were called while to be priests to him. While God wanted them as a kingdom of priests, the whole nation to be a kingdom of priests, because they undertook to do the will of God, God set a tribe, Levi, then a family, Aaron and his sons, then Aaron himself to be particularly the type of the Lord Jesus. Everything in what we read in chapter 28 and 29 of Exodus, everything as to the consecration of Aaron and his sons. There is a slight difference between the consecration of Aaron and his sons. We are not going to enter into it now, except to say that, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, typified by Aaron, is introduced as the one whose blood was going to be shed. Not that he, our blessed Lord, needed blood to be a foundation for his service. No. But the whole Word of God testifies to the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus, to him being the one who is saint, the one who is set apart, the one who is holy, the one who is righteous, the one who is faithful, and who can go on, entirely for the pleasure of God. But when it came of his sons, then there was a procedure to be followed, more specifically for them, how they were to be set apart, and how could they be set apart? There had to be sacrifices, sin offerings. But there was to be also a burnt offering that shows that the sacrifice by which, on the one hand, their sins were going to be blotted out, the very sacrifice, now I refer to the personal giving of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, who gave himself even unto death, that sacrifice of himself was absolutely for the delight of God. And we know that this comes under the picture of the burnt offering. May the Lord help us to retain this thought, that before we speak of our privilege and responsibility, we can function as priests. And I'm going to try to explain in a few words what we mean, function as priests. All hangs on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only salvation, but consecration to him, going without the camp unto him. And this is what gives value to the heart of God. And the closer we get to the Lord Jesus in daily devotion to him, in daily reading of the Word of God, then God is going to be honored in your life, in my life. And I want to also emphasize this, that whether it is a question of functioning as priest to offer up sacrifices to God, or whether it is to be witnesses for God in the world, they all hang on this again. What is our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus? There could be much said, of course, and you can come with questions. We want to emphasize that there is one priesthood. The Lord Jesus is always and ever the fullest glorifying God reality of what a priest is to God. But it has pleased God, and God wanted it to be so, that you and I, and even into eternity, linked so closely with the person of the Lord Jesus, there will be this service of praise and worship to God. And this is, in the first place, what we read, and we will read it again, in 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 5, as living stones, you are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. What are we doing when we meet together on Lord's Day morning? We come together to remember the Lord, no doubt. His death, His resurrection. But we are also there to offer up spiritual sacrifices together. In other words, no more animals, offerings as the Old Testament, but rather what these offerings of the Old Testament told about concerning the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We have come together to present to the heart of God something of the blessedness of the Lord Jesus as to His person, as to His work, as to who He has been here on the earth, as to who He is now in heaven, as to who He shall ever be. Dear brothers and sisters, younger and older ones, you are a priest. The moment you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, it was a tribe, it was a family, it was a man. But today, since the day when the Lord Jesus Christ gave His life, we read in Revelation 1, unto Him that loves us and has washed us from our sins, and He has made us kings, or kingdom of priests, or kings and priests. Everyone born again, from the youngest age to those who are older, everyone is constituted by as a priest to God, to offer sacrifices to God. If you want to put it that way, instead of using the word priest, to take away that thought of those who have been ordained priests, we are servants in worship to God. Worship is a service to God, to present the person of the Lord Jesus out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. And as the Lord Jesus is more and more the object of your heart and of my heart, and this is one of the favorite expressions I have, be thou the object bright and fair that fills the heart. May the Lord Jesus Christ be the object of your heart, that out of your heart there might be just a simple expression. When we say, I was just forgetting the first part, for saving my soul. How do you start? Thank the Lord for saving my soul. When publicly and sisters take part in the worship in their hearts, Take part in the expression of worship in their song. Take part in the expression of worship in their amen. But when the brothers are the responsible element to express it verbally, publicly, then together, whether it is just thank you, Lord, for saving me, saving us, amen, this is a service of worship to God. Of course, we progress. We are moved on, and by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, and we might go on and say, not only thank you for saving me, for saving us, but thank you and we praise you for being the Savior, who you are, so that you could save me. You are perfect. You had to have perfect life here on earth. You had to die, but you are not dead. You are living, and you could go on in a very simple way. God is pleased when out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak, not only in the assembly, in the church as we meet together, but individually in your own life, as you wake up in the morning, as you go about to get ready for the day, if there is a moment to read the word, just a few words, and then out of it, having committed yourself, you go and say, thank God. I praise you, Lord. I praise thee, Lord, for this little moment of reading the word. This is worship, praise to God from your heart. And this is how we get ready 6 days a week to what takes place publicly together on the first day of the week. May we never separate these two things. Preparation of the heart during the week. Expression personally of praise and worship during the week. And then when we come together, even if it is for prayer and Bible reading, there can be outflow together of thanksgiving and praise. And on the Lord's Day, when we are come specifically to remember the Lord Jesus, but to also worship the Father and the Son, may we, by the Spirit of God, bring what would have been coming out. We refer to a basket, a token of all that God puts in our hearts. Not only in this chapter that we read, there is another chapter that brings that out also in Deuteronomy chapter 26. What we collect during the week, we as it were put into the basket, and on the Lord's Day morning, it will be brought out together. And sisters are just as much a part as sisters get ready during the week. So that when it comes to the expression of it together, and the brothers would express it publicly, it would be the outcome of what brothers and sisters would have gathered in their hearts to bring it in worship and praise together. And who gets the glory? God. Who is honored? The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who seeks to bring this about? The Spirit of God working in your heart and in my heart. From the babe in Christ to those who are more mature, may God help us to be acting as holy priests. And that is my PS. All that we said about worship, service in praise and worship, all that we said, the preparation of the heart, we'll find it in chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen race, a kingly or royal priesthood, a holy nation. You notice here, holiness is brought out. And then it says, a royal priesthood. Priesthood is brought out. Then he says, that ye might set forth the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness to his wonderful light. The excellencies, the virtues, the perfection of the Lord Jesus that would fill our hearts if we let the Spirit of God form them in our hearts to praise and worship, they will. And there I bow my head. That oftentimes, particularly as gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus, we have sought to express spiritual sacrifices in worship to God on the Lord's Day morning. How often we have failed in testimony, not only to the unsaved, although in the first place to the unsaved, but also to all, or so many other Christians who know so very little about offering spiritual sacrifices to God through Christ Jesus. To be in the hand of the Lord so that as a kingly or royal priesthood, we are committed with the trust by the Lord. In a coming day, this is why we read in Revelation, in a coming day, by the grace of God, all of us who are saved, we shall have a crown. We read in chapter 4 of Revelation what we are going to do with it. We are going to cast them at His feet. Many crowns, various crowns. But that one crown suggests what we are still going to be, and in a more perfect way, because freed from all that is of ourselves and the flesh, when we shall reign with Him. That's an expression we find in Revelation chapter 20. Reign with Christ. The preparation for that day is already now. Because when we are faithful here, the Lord will entrust us with areas of responsibilities, but will always be that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords may be honored to the glory of God. Everyone according to what God has given us and enabled us by His grace to do for Him. I repeat once more, because that's perhaps the conclusion and yet the central point. Just as much as we wish to be prepared for the Lord's Day morning when we come together to praise and worship the Lord, it would not be repetitive. It would not be mechanical. It would not be coming there because it's the Lord's Day morning and I wish perhaps to take part in the breaking of bread and then be stirred in my heart. Oh, what a thing. Yes, the Lord in His mercy towards me and towards us knows what happens when we are distracted, even at the worship meeting. But dear ones, what the Spirit of God seeks to bring about in your life so that there might be an ongoing expression of praise and worship to Him. And on the Lord's Day morning, collectively, the Spirit of God wishes to form this in you and in me, so that day by day, we are available to Him to be used at any time toward those who are lost and toward those who are so little in the enjoyment of the whole truth of God. Who is able? We love that verse that says, and to Him that is able to do above, far above everything we think of in Ephesians chapter 3, but also able to keep us in Jude at the end of the chapter. I will read one more verse in Hebrews, something we barely noticed, but that is so important as we had it in our outline. Hebrews chapter 20. Sorry, chapter 13. I'm sorry what I said. I don't know. We are helpers together. Hebrews 13. Verse 20. But the God of peace, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. You know what we could do? Just say, praise the Lord. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. And when we say it from our heart, even when we read, what goes up to God? What the Spirit of God would have wrought in you and in me. In the power and of the blood of the eternal covenant. Again, we could say, praise God for what He has wrought and for the power of the blood. Now verse 21. Perfect you in every good work to the doing of His will, doing in you what is pleasing before Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for the ages and ages. Amen. And He wants to do that in spite of our weakness, and even at this very moment, in spite of our weakness. May God use what we read of His word, and any question you may have, approach some who are a little older than you are, particularly spiritually, and then the Lord will help, and there will be further fruit to him.